1 Peter 4, beginning with verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So, I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. May God be pleased to write His word upon our hearts and our minds this day as we meditate upon it. Well, over these last several weeks, as we have been working our way through the book of 1 Peter, I don't know if you have noticed this, but I have noticed along the way how different Peter sounds in this epistle than what I recalled of Peter from reading through the Gospels. If you recall back to the time that Jesus was walking amongst his disciples upon the earth, Peter played a pretty predominant role in many of those occurrences, those accounts that God has lovingly preserved within his word for us. And along the way, Peter was kind of that young guy that tended to speak first and think later. And along the way, we saw examples of where even the Lord had to respond and rebuke Peter for some of his foolishness. And yet, as we have worked our way through the book of 1 Peter, we hear from one who seems much more mature, one who shows and demonstrates a shepherd's heart, a care for the people of God. And so it may seem strange to you that what appeared last week at the end of chapter 4 to be a natural ending place, that we move on into this section of chapter 5 to begin this address, this exhortation to elders. And that's one of the reasons why I chose to read that verse 19 from chapter 4 again to you, because Peter left us last week with that commendation that we are to commend or entrust our souls to our faithful Creator, as we would then, in obedience to Him, our Master, engage in doing good. I think as we think in terms of what it is that we were left with last week, we can better understand why it is then that Peter is going to explain to us some of the blessings of the church and of the government that God was pleased to establish for His church, as He is pleased to give to us under-shepherds. So we look first in this passage before us this morning, chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, at this idea of God's provision of under-shepherds. What does that mean for us? Secondly, we look that that office of under-shepherd, that office of elder, is not something that is left to man to define, but rather It is something that is akin to and seeks to emulate the example of the Good Shepherd, that chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And lastly, we see, just as if you recall when we were addressing that passage that was addressed to wives, how that wasn't an excuse for husbands and others to say, well, this has nothing to do with me. We see that here in chapter 5, Peter has instruction for all of us as to how we are to live humbly, demonstrating humility to one another, living meekly as his sheep. So we'll be looking at God's provision of under-shepherds, the example of the chief shepherd, and lastly, living meekly as his sheep. And so let's look at our passage today. He begins chapter 5 with this exhortation to elders. And again, I mentioned earlier how it seems that Peter has grown up quite a bit. He seems a more mature individual, one who has himself gone through the ups and downs of his walk with Christ. And we know this to be the case, do we not? Because this is Peter. This is the one who would make great claims as to his willingness to follow Jesus to the very end. And yet we know that when it came down to it, he would deny Jesus 3 times that night that Jesus hung upon the cross. We know that he had enjoyed the wonderful forgiveness of God for his fear, for his having abandoned his Lord and fled in that eventful night. And so we might have expected that one who had been so tested, one who was an apostle, one who had witnessed the sufferings of Christ, his death and resurrection, might exhort under-shepherds from a position of power. That's the way the world would go about it, right? We would make sure that our credentials are very visible so that those who aren't themselves apostles would know our authority and would take our word seriously. But that's not the example we see in Peter, is it? Peter doesn't claim and stand upon his apostleship as he exhorts elders, but rather he claims to be an elder as well. He claims to be like those that he is addressing, not above them. And we see that at the very outset of chapter 5, and what we have seen conveyed throughout the entirety of this epistle, of an attitude of humility is being first practiced by that one whom God is inspiring to write this epistle, Peter himself. He says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed." Peter wasn't looking to exercise his own supremacy, but we see his pastoral care even for those who would be administering shepherding care for the sheep of God, as he claims to be a fellow elder. He is here demonstrating for elders what it is that motivates him in the exercise of that calling which Christ has given to him. He's motivated in the exercise of his duties as an apostle, as an elder, as a writer, out of a love of Christ, as he contemplates what it is that he has graciously been given by Christ, though he sinned continually. That mercy, that grace that he has himself received now motivates his care and concern, motivates him to speak to the elders of the church, those whom the congregation has called out to labor among them, to lovingly exhort them in their duties. You see, Peter understood that as sinful men and women, we can sometimes be guilty of looking for all of the wrong attributes in those who would lead. You think back to the example of King Saul when Israel wanted for themselves a king so that they might be like every other nation around them. And even God's prophet looked at Saul and thought that he was the one for all of the wrong reasons. They looked and they saw that he stood a head and shoulder above all of the others. They saw him as an imposing specimen of strength, one whom all of the other nations would fear. And that ultimately wasn't what was most important for a king to possess, nor was it what is most important to God, our Heavenly Father, to be present within that one who would be entrusted with authority and with this call to lead and to shepherd. Rather, God looks inside to the contents of the heart, to ensure that the heart is inclined toward him, is seeking after the things of God, is motivated out of a love for God. And so Peter here, while he is exhorting the elders, this is not lost on you, the members of the church, the sheep of God's flock, as it is instructive to you as to whom you will call to serve as elders, whether ruling or teaching, that they possess the characteristics laid out here and laid out in 1 Timothy 3 and laid out in Titus 1. And so he pleads with the elders to give him an ear as a fellow elder, as he would instruct them in their duties. He reminds them, first off, that their role is that of a shepherd, to shepherd the flock of God. And if you've ever been blessed to raise sheep, sheep demand a shepherd. Sheep are not one of those animals that you can merely turn loose and they will self-regulate and they will take care of themselves successfully. Among those who raise sheep, they often will joke that there are only two kinds of sheep. They're either healthy or dead. There's no in between. And growing up on a farm where sheep were being raised, I often would see that. It seemed as if a sheep got into trouble, that it would soon be fatal. If they overate and began to bloat, it was amazing how quickly you could lose that sheep. And so here we see him reminding the elders that theirs is not a duty that is occasional or even temporary or seasonal, but rather like the shepherd over the sheep, his duties never cease. He must be vigilant and attentive in order that he might shepherd the sheep effectively. You see, there is a tendency, as I said, for us in our sin to make the calling of elders a mere popularity contest, or perhaps we, like those Israelites of old, look for those who are the most imposing specimens to be shepherds, but that's not what is called for here. And when you think in terms of the examples of good shepherds, which we find within God's Word, one of those who is held out as an example, apart from Christ as the good shepherd, is David. David, who even as a young man was diligent in his duties tending his father's flocks, even in the face of great challenge and great danger. I think in terms of raising sheep here in North America, the physical threats to the shepherd seem awfully small. We might occasionally see a wolf. We might occasionally see a mountain lion, although I never saw one, you know, come and threaten the sheep when I was growing up in Kansas. They were roaming around. But we have the record of David relaying to Saul that even in his youth, as he tended the sheep, there were times that he was charged with fighting off lions as well as bears who were seeking to endanger his father's sheep. And so here, Peter's commendation to elders is that they will be active in the duty that they have been given. Diligent. Now, what does this involve to shepherd the sheep? How is it that a shepherd is successful in his undertaking of caring for the sheep? Well, it does involve that the shepherd is with the sheep, involved with the sheep, that he can examine the sheep and know the sheep intimately. This means availing of ourselves of those opportunities to engage with those entrusted to our care, whether that be by phone, whether that be in person, whether that be the visitations that occur within the home. These are opportunities which God gives to the shepherd to know the sheep, to identify the difficulties or perhaps the wounds that are present within the sheep, that they may be attended to before they result in catastrophe. One of the great blessings of this particular congregation that I've noticed over the years is that so many of you are quick to pick up the phone and alert your elder when there are needs, prayer concerns, or difficulties that have arisen. That's a wonderful thing that you do, as it allows your elders to engage with you, to bring God's Word to bear upon those needs that you might find in it the answer to your problems, the solution, and the healing necessary for your hurts. And so, elders, you are called to shepherd the flock. Congregation, this is what you are looking for in your elders, that they will care for you, that they will reach out to you, that they will even be pesky from time to time in checking in on you to know that you are well, to know that you do not have any needs. Not only are they to shepherd, we see that they are to do this by exercising oversight. And he goes on and he talks about how we are to act as elders and how we're not to engage in our duties. He says, you are to exercise oversight, but not under compulsion. Your duties, elders, that you have been called out from amongst the congregation to carry out are not to be a drudgery. It isn't necessarily to be viewed as you would view your job, where you're looking forward to your next vacation, the next opportunity that is afforded you to be away from your duties, but rather the shepherd delights in the care of the sheep. Have you ever wondered why that is? Why would your elders delight to be with the sheep? Well, I can speak from my own perspective as to why I like being around the sheep of God. Because each one of the sheep that God has been pleased to draw together into a flock is a reminder of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to save sinners. Each one of you who are sitting out here before me today have a testimony that you bear as to the work of Christ within your life. Or children, those who have been baptized, those whose parents have called upon the covenant promises of God to be realized in your life, I look out with great anticipation at what God will be pleased to do as He is at work within your heart, as you're learning God's Word, as you are storing up God's Word within your heart, and what He'll be pleased to accomplish as He brings you to maturity in faith in Jesus Christ. And can you think of anything better to be surrounded by than such testimonies of God's grace meted out to the people around you, His beloved sheep? And so it is I come to worship, as I hope you come to worship each Lord's Day, with anticipation. The worship of God is not a drudgery. The gathering with God's people is not a drudgery, but it is where we delight to dwell, a foretaste of heaven, which is the eternity that is ours in that new heaven and new earth, where we will reside with our Heavenly Father, with Christ, forevermore, surrounded by those who are a testimony of His great love, His precious flock. So we don't go about our duties under compulsion as a drudgery, but rather we do these things willingly. Each one of your elders, when they were called out, likely and rightly felt insufficient to the task that they had been called by you to perform, called by God to perform. And we are unequal to the task as His under-shepherds until He is pleased to give to us, to grant to us that which we need to counsel rightly, to tend to the wounds of those who are hurt and suffering, as He is pleased to give us growing understanding from His Word by the work of His Spirit, and yet we do so willingly. We don't enter into these offices for our own selfish reasons. If your desire is for authority, your desire is for power, let me be the first to say there are so many other roles in this life that you can occupy in which you can attain those things more easily. That is not the rationale for aspiring to the role of an elder or of a pastor. It isn't where you go to become rich. And it isn't an office to be occupied as a power trip. But instead, those who would be called to serve as elders should demonstrate prior to their calling an eagerness to serve Christ and a love for His people. congregation, if those things are not present in men who are put before you to occupy the office, do not call them. But look for those things in the ones whom you would call out from amongst you to lead you and to guide you and to shepherd you well. The office of elder is not to be occupied by tyrants, those who would domineer over the ones entrusted to their care, but those who would be faithful under shepherds must be tender in their care for those precious ones purchased by Christ. And yet they must be resolute, as they would fend off those things that would seek to consume those entrusted to their care. They're not to be domineering, but rather your elders are to walk as examples before you. When I think back to growing up in that little congregation in Winchester, what a blessing it was to have so many elders and retired pastors within that congregation who would serve as examples of good shepherds to a young man growing up, as they would care for me, as they would come alongside me, as they would seek to mentor and disciple me, that I might grow in my knowledge of the Word of God, that I might grow in the exercise of those tools which God was pleased to give to me. But it's amazing how often that example can be far more powerful than necessarily instruction, as we see God's Word practically lived out, as we see a heart inclined to Christ directing those under shepherds in their service to Christ. As I had opportunity to grow up in that congregation with so many retired pastors, it was an opportunity to grow in my appreciation of how they viewed themselves. Here were men who had spent the entirety of their life faithfully preaching and teaching from God's Word, and yet they possessed a humility that was so attractive within them, and that helped to convey that they saw themselves not as an authority, but rightly saw themselves as an under-shepherd of the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so they attacked their duties out of a great thankfulness that they were privileged to serve their king, to serve the chief shepherd in that way. And they understood that those who occupied the pews before them, those young men that they were pleased to come alongside and to mentor and disciple, were purchased by Christ, were precious in the eyes of God, and they gave their every ounce of energy out of their and through their delight and love of Christ. You see, they sought not their own glory. They sought not the praise of men, but rather they sought to bring glory to that one who had given to them salvation. They sought to bring honor and glory to their heavenly Father for the privilege that they had to serve in that capacity as an under-shepherd in the service of the good shepherd that we read of in John chapter 10. And rather than have their eyes fixed upon what gain they could receive from their office in this life, they were content and they yearned for that which is held out for all those who would faithfully serve in that role as under-shepherds. That crown that is to be given when Christ comes again. A crown of unfading glory. Now, sheep, he hasn't overlooked you in this. Not only has he given to you instruction as to what it is that you're looking for in those who would serve you as your elders and your pastors, but he also speaks to that attitude that should be yours. He says, likewise, you who are younger, those of you who are not elders. Now, this may be instruction that is geared to other young men, and we're blessed to have a young man in the congregation who is wrestling through and seeking to identify God's call upon his life toward ministry. And so, verse 5 may be geared to you. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. But it also is rightly applied to the sheep in general. I mentioned and read intentionally verse 19, where we were called upon to entrust our souls to a faithful Creator, as we would entrust our souls to God. That is also us entrusting our souls to His care through those institutions that He has lovingly provided for His sheep and the leadership that He gives to His sheep. That isn't done blindly. God's Word is a guide that we would know when our elders are rightly and wrongly administering or upholding the Word of God. But it is here a commendation to the sheep that they would give themselves to being shepherded, making themselves available for that oversight to be given, that care to be administered, that help to be offered, even the tending of wounds to be addressed as those needs arise within our lives. Each of you is here commended to clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. And the reminder, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter demonstrated that humility at the outset as he addressed these elders, not touting for himself his apostleship, having some advantage or greater authority than, but made himself one of the elders as he addressed them and lovingly brought this exhortation before them that they might succeed and be diligent in rightly carrying out the duties of their office. And so here he calls upon each one of you to humbly and with humility care for one another, attending to one another, being involved in one another's lives, speaking with one another. You know, one of the saddest things that I witnessed, and it doesn't happen in many of our congregations, but there were a few that as soon as the benediction was given, unless the pastor ran to the back of the church, he wouldn't get to greet anyone on their way out of the church. So quickly did they flee out of the church back to their homes. Now, there were underlying reasons and a theological rationale for that, but you think that robs the elders and the pastor of opportunities to engage with the flock, to spend time with them. Sometimes it's a matter of trying to establish or set up visitations. And it seems that we can allow our calendars to become so full that it seems near impossible to find a time that we can come and we can be with those precious ones of Christ and hear them attest to what God is doing in their life and where their needs are and how we may come alongside and bring God's word to bear in their lives. And so here he says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, caring for one another, engaging with one another, seeking one another out. Each one of us have individuals that we look for as we look out across the congregation to see who is here and who isn't here. Take it upon yourselves to check in on those that aren't present. One that you might know how better to pray for them. One that you might be alerted to needs that have arisen and you can encourage and care for them and better pray for them that they may be with us in the near future. And so, as I said, kind of like that passage that dealt with wives, this isn't a passage that the rest of us can just lay aside as having no meaning. It's intended for all of God's people, from the elders to the sheep, that God has lovingly provided to us these under-shepherds who are themselves to be seeking to emulate that example of our good shepherd, that we would not be found wanting as were the shepherds in Ezekiel 34. Those who are described as having eaten the sheep, used them for their own gain, sought for themselves positions of power rather than caring for those, the most precious of God's possessions, purchased with a blood of greater value than any other, that of Jesus Christ. And so, here, we may be content in our God's care through the agency and the institution of the church which He has provided, under the loving care of the elders which He has called out as they would faithfully shepherd the sheep. Let's look to Him in prayer. Almighty God, again, we thank You. We thank You that our Lord and Savior was not only able to bear upon His shoulders our sin, that He was not only able to rise again from the grave in mastery over death, that we might have the promise of life everlasting, but Lord, in this life, while we are yet sojourners, traveling through a home that is not our home, in anticipation of that which is our home, our heavenly home, Lord, You have provided Your sheep shelter. You have provided to Your beloved sheep under-shepherds, under the instruction and example of Christ. And Lord, as elders, we pray that You would be pleased day by day to root out any remaining sin, that our motivations in the exercise of our duties would be pure and Christ-honoring. Lord, that we would not exercise our office out of compulsion, but willingly and with an eagerness and out of a love for Christ and what the gospel of Jesus Christ has accomplished and is accomplishing, go about our tasks daily. Help us, Lord, to be involved in the lives of the sheep. Open doorways to us that we may enter in, that we may know them, that we may help them and care for them. And Lord, we pray that You would cause Your sheep to seek nothing less than those godly examples to serve in that important role. A role important because you view those whom you have entrusted to Christ as precious, invaluable, and a treasure in your eye. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.